we are in our second week of this series, Faithful Witness, Fractured World. This is a sermon series that I've been excited to preach. And, you know, the funny thing is, as I was preparing for this series, I really felt that it was going to be one of those things where I can take these studies from 6 years in the book of Revelation and just change up a few things, and now let me just preach it as a sermon. But even as I was studying this thing this week, the Lord began to just open. I mean, Sue's laughing at me because you would think that 6 years in a book, you'd get it now. It's like I'm having aha moments all week, and I'm thinking, gosh, I thought I was done with all the aha. Well, this word is inexhaustible, amen? It is an inexhaustible word. But if you take your Bible and turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. I'm sorry, it's in my head and I can't get it out of my head now. Just let me just help West Highland with something. If you ever refer to this book, it is Revelation. Not Revelations. When I was studying, people were like, so I heard you're studying Revelations. No, just one. Just the one in the Bible. I'm sorry, it's an internal Revelation scholar joke. Revelation chapter 2, I'm already in trouble. Starting at verse 1. The word of God says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and that you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. You found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and I will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And I know that we just heard these words come from the lips of Christ to the church in Ephesus, but I want to say this at the end of the reading of the word so that we might be faithful witnesses. Let's say this together. Let the one who has ears hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Father, we indeed thank you for your word. We thank you for the Spirit that not only has spoken to the church, but still yet speaks today. Father, we open our ears and our hearts to hear what you're saying. Lord, attune our ears, control our minds, and open our hearts that we may hear and be equipped to be faithful witnesses to the righteous rule and reign of God over all creation and the victory of the Lamb, who is given for our redemption. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I spoke about Jesus, and someone in our preaching and teaching group on Wednesday night said, well, Pastor, you said you were going to talk about Jesus, and you kept saying you were going to talk about Jesus, but it took a while, but at least I did talk about Jesus, didn't I? Come on, church, did I not talk about Jesus? Who said a little bit? No! I was talking about Jesus, and if you remember, this was my big point for you to understand last week, that through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we are brought into the kingdom of God and empowered by the Spirit to be faithful witnesses to it. Remember last week we said that he's not only our Messiah, he's not only our master, but he is the faithful witness, he is our model. And I pointed out seven distinctions that we see in Jesus in chapter 1. And as we read through the prophetic messages that he now sends over to the church, we're going to see one of these elements played out in every single church. So this morning, I want to talk about love, or I would call it the devotion of faithful witness. So this morning, I'm going to talk about Jesus a little bit more. Do you mind? No, I am this time. I promise. I'm going to talk about Jesus. But I also want to talk about love. Can I talk about love? Yeah, I got excited about Jesus, but I can't talk about love? I mean, Jesus, didn't we just sing about it? If we sang about it, can I talk about it? Understand this. Love is foundational to our witness for the kingdom. It's foundational. It's not optional. It's not just a part of it. Love is foundational to our witness for the kingdom. Nothing else that we ascribe to, no sermon that we preach, no song that we sing, no class that we attend, no offering that we give, none of these without love are effective in kingdom witness. So this morning I want to talk a little bit about love. This is the challenge, though. To talk about love today is difficult because love has kind of become distorted. Would you agree with me? We've got our hands on love so much from day one. We've sang about it. We've scored songs about it. We've written books about it. We've produced movies about it. We've painted pictures about love. But love over time has become either weird or weaponized. Let me give you an example. Huey Lewis in the news says that the power of love is a curious thing. Make one man weep, another man sing. Now, how many would say, yeah, I agree? Here's the weird. Change a hawk into a little white dove. What are you talking about, man? More than a feeling, that's the power of love. Some of you, I just lost you already because you went right back into your pickup truck or your hot rod car and you're back in high school. I know, come back. We're still here. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones says that love is not a sentiment. It is the most active, vital thing in the world. This is why I believe Jesus starts this prophetic messages. This is why I believe he starts with Ephesus. A lot of scholars would say, well, it's because of the route that the messenger would have had to go to deliver this. Listen, I think that God is intentional. And so maybe God planted this church in Ephesus right here on the route. If anything, the route was designed because I want to talk about love first. God is intentional. So this morning, I want to talk about love, but as I was preparing for this message, this is what just happens when I get studying sometimes. You remember with the Beatitudes, I sit down and start looking at the Beatitudes, and all of a sudden I'm caught up in this old 1980s song, right? Happened again as I was preparing. I mean, you can't preach on love and love songs not start to come through your mind. I was thinking, I mean, I grew up in a musical home. We were always playing music, always listening. No, not yet. No, you can't do that yet. I don't want to give them that magic yet, Mike. Some of them already knew her. They're like, oh, yeah, that's my jam. But I'm gonna tell you about a song that I grew up loving. What's one of my favorite Christian songs? It says, I could tell you how, then the lyrics are not going to come up there. I was almost going to sing this song. I'm not going to do it. No, it's not happening. No. No. No, he does not say so. The Holy Spirit does not say so. I could tell you how I feel for you. And all the things that I could do to show you the love I have is true. There are many words that I could, okay, I'm sorry, because it is my favorite, it's my jam, but there are many words that I could say, some melodies that I like to play to show you the love I have is true. But then here's the hook of the song. But my thoughts may change and my words will pass, but only what I do is gonna last. And this will show you the love I have is true. Songs are going through my mind. Now, I grew up in a Christian home. And the type of home that I grew up in, my parents did not let us listen to secular music. Simply because I think that my parents felt like Gen X, when our generation started getting a hold of love songs, the lyrics just got a little bit too sensual. And maybe they were right. Because the millennials now, I'm thinking, whoa, somebody needs to take their pen and their typewriter away. I don't even know what they're singing about anymore. But every now and then, I mean, my mom and dad will play some of their songs. L is for the way you look at me. You see, everybody started humming. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore. Okay. Jason, you don't sing anything. Love is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game for two. Two in love can make it. Take my heart and please, baby, don't break it. Okay, maybe I threw the baby in there. Love was made for me and you. Even looked at some websites. I mean, I got distracted in my studies. I did. I went over to Billboard and then Forbes magazine added Forbes weighed in on some top love songs. And these may not be any of your favorites, but they wrote 50 love songs that really are just iconic that we can't forget. And I just thought, like, some of these are some of my favorites. Unforgettable, that's what you are. Come on. I just called to say I love you. My wife walked down the aisle to Jill Crocker's. You are so beautiful. To me. I'm sorry, I just saw her for a second. Come on, Gen X, we're not out of the game altogether, because everybody loves some Bobby Caldwell. What you won't do, you do for love. You tried everything. See, all the young folks started saying, mm-hmm. Boomers, you're still in there. Take my hand, take my whole heart too, because I can't help. We know these songs. I don't know how Hank Williams got in this lineup for Forbes magazine. I question it because I've heard the chorus to the song, but I've never really heard the lyrics, so I had to go over to YouTube and I had to look it up to find out what the song said, because he made it to Forbes top 50 in his song, I'm So Lonely I Could Cry. Now I go over to look at the lyrics, and the lyrics do not scream love songs, so I don't even know. Somebody can explain that part later to me. So we keep going to What the World Needs Now Is, we know about love. Now my mom is not here today, and it's probably a good thing, because this is where she would embarrass me. She wouldn't embarrass herself because she doesn't even care. But she would embarrass me, and she's probably watching online, and I just realized that. Doggone it. It doesn't matter. Because, see, my father, you've seen my father. You haven't really met my father, but my father can sing. But he's got that deep, like, Jason Guest kind of, you know. And he has a habit sometimes, I think, you know, back in the day, wooing my mom with music. But there's a song, and I know some of you may know this, but a certain part that says, no, I don't have a diamond ring. I don't even have a song to sing. All I know is, fa-la-la-la. Any Delphonics singers? Okay, a few of you know where I'm. If that song comes on, my mom melts. It's just that was a song that my dad would sing. And then there's another one that just made sense. I Want to Know What Love Is by Foreigner. Pastor, what are you making all these mentions of songs? Because I want to talk about love. Is that okay? But I mention these songs, and I know that as I'm doing that, I'm taking some of you down memory lane. But as I begin to think through that, here's a problem. Here's a problem. With all the songs that we've sang, all the movies we've watched, all the books we've read, you want to know something? It hasn't changed a thing. Nothing's changed. These songs have set the mood. They've stolen our hearts. They've met us at school dances. They've met us on romantic card rides. And it's not just the romance stuff. Isn't She Lovely by Stevie Wonder? It's a song about his daughter. Come on. Butterfly Kisses. Luther Vandross. Dance with My Father Again. I mean, Mama's Christmas Shoes. All of these songs about love. They've gotten our attention. They captured our heart. But still, the anthem of our world, the fractured world that you and I are called to be faithful witnesses in the midst of, this might be a real anthem still for the world today. I spent a lifetime looking for you. You can show it up there now. I spent a lifetime looking for you. Single bars and good times, lovers were never true. Playing a fool's game, hoping to win and telling those sweet lies and losing again. I was looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces, searching their eyes, looking for traces of what I'm dreaming of, hoping to find a friend and a lover. I'll bless the day that I'll discover another heart looking for love. And then I was alone, no love in sight. I did everything I could to get me through the night. Don't know where it started or where it might end. I turned to a stranger, just like a friend. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. Can I talk about love this morning? This is why love is foundational to our efforts to being faithful witnesses. Understand this. If God is love and the righteousness of his kingdom is governed by love, then faithful witness demands love. If we can sing how great the Father's love for us and be resolute in our hearts and our minds, that the God we serve and witness to is a God of love, then that means that our witness, when we try to let the world know who God is, that it should be rooted and grounded in love. And the problem is that while some of us in here might argue that we've been witnesses to the kingdom through our love, West Highland, would you allow me to challenge your idea of love for just a moment? I thought about myself in this. I think if we took an honest introspective, if we just looked at ourselves, we might say that our understanding is based on our experience, our emotions, and our fears. I want you to think about that. The love that you display, the love that you give, how is your love informed? Is it based on experience? This is what love looked like in my family, good or bad. And so now you've made a vow because you're starting your own family. This is what love is going to look like in your home. My dad never did this, so I'm going to do that. My mom never did this, so I'm going to do that. Or my dad always did this, so I'm never going to do that. My mom always did. And now it's the experience that you had in your childhood, the experience in past relationships now you've brought into this relationship. I'm going to love because this is how I've always experienced. When I love like this, this is what I got in return. I'm never going to hurt anymore. Experience, emotions, fears. Some of us get caught up in, we're raptured in the euphoria of the moment. Good or bad? That we find ourselves lost in this. I just feel so, and now that's what love is. Is love a feeling? Or our fears? In this part, as I thought about that, we love and our fears, I'm going to tell you why I had a hard time with this. Because 1 John 4:18 says that there is no fear in love. The Bible says that. So then I've got to be wrong in saying that our love is based on fear. And he says, perfect love casts out fear. But then when I read that and I understand that perfect love casts out fear, here's what the Bible is implying. That there is a space emotionally where love and fear coexist. And that when love, in a biblical sense, begins to take the stand, it casts out fear. But until that happens, fear is the driving thing. And some of us think that we're acting in love, but we're really acting in fear that's masked in this thing called love. What kind of fear? Fear of being rejected. Fear of loneliness. Fear of being hurt again. Fear of failure. Fear of missing out. Whatever your fear is, you name it. But there are some times that fear drives in where love is supposed to be. If our understanding of love is based on our experience and our emotion and fears, then how much more does the passage in Proverbs 3 and 5 make sense when it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lead on to your understanding? If we're going to be faithful witnesses, we must, West Highland, be a church that's marked by our devotion or our steadfast love. That love cannot be rooted in our own understanding. Understand this. Love is realized when the people of God are empowered by the Spirit of God to hear and heed the Word of God. You want to show me someone walking in love? Show me a person that has found themselves with the Word of God at the feet of God, asking the Spirit of God, help me to obey the ways of God. Do you hear me, church? This is why when you open up the book of Revelation, before it even gets deep into the Word, he says, blessed is the one who reads this thing and hears it and heeds it, obeys it, everything written in it, because the time is near. So, let's go into the text now, and let's talk about love a little bit. Can I talk about love? Yeah. I want you to imagine yourself for a moment being the church at Ephesus. In fact, let's not do that. Let's not do that. When you read the book of Revelation, in the Greek, it doesn't say, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. It says it this way, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Same thing, but different. Very weighty. Because you know what I believe? That thousands of years later, the Spirit is still saying to the church. So let's imagine for a moment that this is not to the church in Ephesus, write these things. To the church in Milford, write these things. To the church at 1116 South Hickory Ridge Road, write these things. Before we talk about the church, can I talk to you about Jesus again? No, this time I'm for real. I'm for real. No rabbit trails for this one. Can I just talk about Jesus for a few moments? At every turn of the message, Jesus will introduce himself. When he introduces himself, he does so in a beautiful way. And I'm going to make you fall in love. If you've not been in love with it before, you're going to fall in love with the book of Revelation. Mark my words. Every message to the church, Jesus steps in and kind of says, hi. And he points back to chapter 1, to this inaugural vision. As soon as John says in Revelation 1:9, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, what he sees beyond that, he begins to see something that terrifies him. It's frightening. And every time Jesus says to a church, he goes back to that vision that John said and said, that's why you saw that. That's important. And we're going to touch on why it's important at every turn of the messages. You with me, church? Let's talk about this. Look at your Bible and just look at the very first verse of Revelation chapter 2. He says to the angel of the church in Ephesus, the one who holds seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. That's important. Remember that number seven is complete, right? So in other words, I hold all the stars. I walk through all the lampstands. Now, watch this. In Ephesus, he identifies himself as the one who holds the seven stars. Now, look at me for a moment because I'm going to help you with something. Jesus explains in chapter 1 that the seven stars are the angels of the church. But now I want you to hear this so you can read these messages the right way. Listen to the personification of the angels that he says throughout the letters. It's likely that he's not speaking to heavenly beings. And we might be, and maybe you've been like me, when you read the angels of the church, you're thinking that there's an angel, like there's a specific angel hovering over West Highland Baptist Church right now. But really what happens is this. The term angelos, to which we get angel, in the Greek, it has more than one meaning. It's generally used of anyone who brings a message or an announcement. So, an angel was one who carried out a mission or a task. Now, there are very clear times in the context of Scripture will let you know this is referring to an angelic being, a divine being, a non-human being sent from heaven. I am Gabriel. I stand before the Lord. It said, you're going to know this is talking about, but when it says to the angel of the church of, it's really saying to the messenger, to the one on mission in Ephesus. So understand this. To the angel of the church, very likely, he's talking to the pastor, and he's talking to the one sitting in the pew that will hear this message and go out being witnesses, that will hear the message and be messengers. Understand the way that we've understood Jesus to work. Jesus makes disciples, and he tells them to go do what? Make disciples, right? So those who receive this message, they're supposed to share this message, and those who hear this message are supposed to share this message. Are you following me? So when he says to the angel of the church, when we hear this, it's in a sense saying, to the witness that is sitting in the pew that hears this, hear these words. I know that might be a little, Pastor Wade, what do you mean? Folks, this was not sitting down and reading through a Bible devotional and landing a plane there. I want to pause here for a second because I know that Revelation is one of those books that has had a lot of different interpretations for a lot of years. If you're here and you're new and you're visiting, or maybe you're watching online, you're like, this guy's, no, this is where my PhD comes from, is the book of Revelation. Now, that doesn't mean I know everything about Revelation. But it means I'm going to take some time to study to find out, why are we debating this? Why are some saying that this is an angel from, that this church has an assigned angel? Some will say, and I hear this in some church, that pastors will stand up and say, to the angel of this house, we greet you. And they're talking about the pastor, because when they read, to the angel of Ephesus, write these things, and they think this word is just to the pastor. But when we begin thinking about faithful witness, when you begin thinking about who's hearing this? This is Jesus talking to those who are going to hear these words and obey them. It's important. Why is this so important, though? He says, to the one who holds the seven stars. The key here is that Jesus says he holds the seven stars. This is reminiscent of John 10, where Jesus explains, I am the good shepherd. And in verse 28, he says, I give to my sheep eternal life, and no one will snatch them from my hand. His sheep are in his hand, and then we hear the stars are in his hand, which means the stars represent the sheep, which represent the witness. And in other words, when we see him saying, the one who holds the seven stars, and the seven meaning a word of completion, I hold all who are mine in my hand. In other words, this hit me, and I started laughing out loud, and some of you will understand why. Because the first message Jesus says to the church of Ephesus, first things first, I love you. Remember whose you are. I love it. I knew that I'd get the Gibsons happy. But that's what he says. I hold the seven stars in my hand. Church, guess what? That's the diversity of the church. Individually, he holds the seven stars in his hand. But then he says, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. And if the stars in the hand represents the diversity of the witnesses in the church, the lampstand represents the harmony, the relationship of it, because this is when the body comes together. The lampstands represent us right now on a Sunday morning, us on a Sunday evening when we come to pray, us on a Wednesday night in Bible study, us when we're together in Sunday school, when we come together as the individuals to come together to a corporate worship. That's what the lampstand represents. But this is what he says. I walk among them. But that's not what John saw. When you have time, go back and look at chapter 1. John saw one who looked like the Son of Man in the midst of, or in the middle of, the lampstand. But Jesus comes to clarify. He leaves no room for ambiguity. It seems like a subtle shift, but it's a major one. Jesus says, no, I'm not just present. He says, I walk among the lampstands, which means that there is an active intimacy that Jesus has with his church. I'm in every worship service. I'm in every pew, every team meeting, every ministry council, every elders meeting. I'm there with you when you're praying on Tuesday morning. I'm there when you're praying on Sunday night. I love you. I hold you. And I am intimately with you, is what Jesus is saying. Now that we know who it is that's writing this message to us, now that we know who it is that's speaking to West Highland Baptist Church this morning, the one who holds us individually and walks among us corporately, what goes through your mind when you hear these two words? I know. I know. Can I step into your imagination for a second? How many have ever been in a situation where you've made some decisions, you've done some things, and someone step in and they say the words, I know, and all of a sudden your heartbeat starts racing like you're about to go into cardiac arrest? How many know what I'm talking about? Or they don't even have to say the words, I know. Has anybody ever walked in the room and looked at you and you're wondering, what do they know? Come on, how many is in a room? I'm imagining myself sitting in this church. Imagine us sitting here and we're worshiping. And someone just interrupts the service. The Lord says today, the one who holds us in his hand, the one who walks among the lampstands. Hear ye the word of the Lord, I know. And they pause. I guarantee that it won't take too long for this church to break out in eternal weeping for the brokenness of what might he know? What does he see? He holds, he walks, and he knows. So now the church sits at the edge of their seat to hear what is it that he'll say to us. He says, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false, and you have perseverance, and you've endured for my name's sake, and you've not grown weary. Deeds, toil, perseverance, twice, discernment, discipline. Jesus says, I know all these things. And now all of a sudden a sigh of relief comes, like, oh, I thought he was gonna call me out. I thought he was gonna read my mail in front of the whole church. But then, I mean, listen to the church of Ephesus. They're doing some things to make God smile. Suffering, they're pushing through it. False teachers, they've got no time for it. Toil, they're working hard at it. Perseverance, mentioned twice, means that this church is trying and they're not doing it without a fight. It's not a bad church. And here comes the boom. But this I have against you. You have left your first love. And again, you've heard this preached, I'm sure. Time and time again, you've heard it preached. So many have wrestled with this verse here because the Spirit speaks with some ambiguity. What is this first love? Well, it's never defined here in the message. And I don't know about you, but that can be frustrating when there's some ambiguity when you're reading the scripture and like, but Lord, tell me what that is. I will return to my first love when you tell me what my first love is. And how do we solve the ambiguity in the message? Well, if love is foundational to our identity and vocation as faithful witnesses, it's important that Jesus interrupt this service to get their attention. So ambiguity or not, we have to discover, we have to talk about what this issue of love is. So can I go back to talking about love? The message is clear. I love you. I hold you. I'm with you. I see you. And he doesn't say, but you stop doing X, Y. He just says, you've left your first love. Again, I believe it's because he holds the stars in his hand. That he can't speak with specifics because then some people, oh, that's not me. He has to speak in general and say, you've left, and then let them understand what he's talking about. Here's the instructions he gives me. He says, remember from where you've fallen and repent and do the deeds that you did at first. But before we look at the instructions, and he gives some instructions right in that verse, but there's an important verse that I think the church misses over and over and over, and that's verse 6 where he says, yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. In the area of love, Jesus corrects what is missing, but he makes one thing clear that the church seems to have missed today. Here's thing number one, love just does not let everything slide. He says, you've left your first love, but now this area where I don't see love, I'm okay with that. See, the church today, capital C, not necessarily our church, but the church at large is starting to let things slide in the name of love, embracing all things in the name of love, doing all things in the name of love, and love don't work like that. But the difference is, this is another thing that we have to understand. Love does not mistake the worker for the work. See, there's this side of the church that just lets everything slide and call it love. That's not biblical. But then there's this side of the church that begins to vilify and condemn God's image bearers because of sin that they walk in. Pastor, can you make that clear? Of course I can. It means I can love you, but I cannot champion the actions that the word clearly calls sin. It means I can love you, but I cannot partake in exploitive practices. It means I can love you, but I cannot join you in your disregard of the demoralization of God's image bearers. Jesus doesn't say you hate the Nicolaitans. He says you hate their works. In church, there's a grave difference. Lisa, come. As Lisa comes, I'm going to give you these three things that we need to take to heart today. And I pause for a moment. I pause for a moment, Lisa. I feel like I need to say that. I do ask your forgiveness for saying it like you're coming at my command. I just put in my notes for Lisa to come, and I read a note. But thank you, Lisa, for. And can we just thank Lisa and the worship team for just. I wanted to pause for that. Jesus says three things. He says, remember, repent, and return. Remember, repent, and return. Church, hear these things. If you're in Ephesus and you're reading this letter, you automatically get it. And so for us, this might be a little distant for us, and we got to figure out, what does he mean by remember where you have fallen and repent and return? Well, where do we return to? They know, each individual, I'm sure, they can sit and they know the moment that he's referring to. But let me, because remember I said that for us sometimes love is shaped by emotion, experience, and fear. But it should be spirit, word, and community, right? Well, look at Ephesians chapter 1. Watch how Paul describes the church of Ephesus. The very ones that are getting this message, this is the same church that when you read the book of Ephesians, that's the church that's receiving this letter, this first message that we're receiving. Now, that can be fun for some of you to go read this message and go back and read the book of Ephesians. But watch this. As Paul's writing to him, he says, in Christ or in him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, that's the word of God, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the spirit of promise, that's the spirit of God, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Now watch this. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and watch the people of God, and your love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him. You see what Paul is saying here as he's reading? The testimony of the love of Ephesus is gone, is going out, is coming back to Paul, that he's hearing about this love that is very evident in their community. But it's based solely on their adherence to the word of God empowered by the Spirit of God. They're holding one another accountable to this love, and it's evident in the letter. That's why I say again that love is realized when the people of God are empowered by the Spirit of God to hear and heed the Word of God. This was the testimony in Ephesus. But as they increased in wisdom, something began to happen. West Highland, is that us? Is that us sometimes? That with more biblical knowledge, all of a sudden love begins to change because now our experience and our emotions are beginning to inform how we love. I was writing this down as I was thinking, how many marriages would have been salvaged if the church would hear what the Spirit is saying to the church? How many relationships between child and parent mended if we would just hear? How much different would our community look if we would hear what the Spirit is saying to the church? Jesus says, remember, go back to that moment. But not just remember, he says, let that memory bring you to a place of repentance. If our understanding is not rooted in spirit, word, and community, then we need to rethink it. We need to rethink how we understand love. And finally, Jesus says, return to that state. And church, here's what I think is really important to note. Remember, he holds the stars and he walks through the lampstands. He's intimately familiar enough with the church to know this. Love is not lost. And there might be some in this place that though you're here, though you're part of the body, that somewhere, whether it's here in the church, whether it's in your home, you have abandoned love and you feel like, I just can't get it back and I wish I could. You've fallen out of love. How in the world do I restore that? For him to say to return to it means that all the elements necessary for it are there. That's the hope this morning, church. The hope this morning is that all is not lost. You can be a faithful witness to the righteous rule and reign of God over all creation. And the one who gave himself for us is with us. He holds us and he knows. I know you don't feel like you have what it takes because you're broken. You're supposed to be that. You're supposed to fall at the feet of Jesus and say, I need you to help me love. He says, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. This last thing, I feel like I can't move too swiftly past this. It'd be good to stop right here at an amen and we close in prayer, but he says something that is really hard to hear for me. He says, you do this, remember, repent, return, and if you don't, I am coming, and I will remove your lampstand out of its place. In other words, if you don't get your love act together, there will be no more together. Church, I love stepping into a pulpit that says this church has existed for 192 years. Let's not make any mistake about it. Without love, there's no 192 more to celebrate. He says, I'm glad that you go to Bible study. I'm glad that you have Awana. You got a Sunday school. Your Sunday school has been meeting for 50 years. Hercules, Hercules. Ooh, you have an academy. But you don't have love? I don't care that this church opens her doors anymore then. Oh, wait a second. You have a title? Oh, pastor, I like it. Elder, nice. Deacon, yay, but you don't have love? I don't need you here. That's what he's saying. He doesn't threaten them, hey, if you don't get love together, I'm going to stop walking among you. He doesn't say, if you don't get your love together, I'm going to let you go out of my hand. He says to Laodicea, I'll spit you out of my mouth. He never says he'll let us go. He never says he'll stop walking. The thing is, he won't change, but our position will. Listen, he will close his doors if this church can't be a church of love. But don't just think that he's talking about the love that exists inside these four walls. Because he holds the seven stars, he's talking to individuals. I believe he's talking to us in our home. If you don't know how to love at home, but here's a challenge, church. Here's a challenge. I've got to say this. That warning does not make us shake like it made Ephesus shake. You want to know why? In 2025, we got options. This is the way I'm going to love. If it's not biblical, we're not going to tolerate it here. Well, this is the way that I love. Well, if it's not biblical, we won't tolerate it here. Well, I'll take my love somewhere else. And unfortunately, there's always a somewhere else in 2025. You didn't have a somewhere else in when this is being written. There weren't keyboards at every other church. Well, you don't like the way I do work. I'm just going to go over here and play for them. It was like, I will change because I love the fellowship of this place. Listen, I will get my act together because I want to be a part of this community of witnesses. But we have options now. And you know what? Our options are, I don't even have to leave my house. I could be a part of that church that's over on the west side of the country, and I don't even have to show up. We have options. But hear me close, church. Wherever you go, there you are. And for the church that tolerates an unbiblical love, Jesus says, this is what he's saying to the church, all of us. If we don't get this thing called love right, He says, I will remove your lampstand from its place. And church, I don't know about you. I don't want that for me. If we are going to be faithful witnesses to the righteous rule and reign of God, we must be a church that's marked by our devotion, steadfast love. And that love cannot be rooted in our own understanding. It must be the word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God for the people of God. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? I'm going to close in prayer. Before I do that, I want to speak to a very select group of people in the church this morning. You might be here this morning, and like that song that we read on the screen, you've been looking for love in all the wrong places. And I believe it is the providence of God that brought you here to West Highland this morning. Not only to hear about the love of Jesus, that he holds those who are his, and he walks among us, but that you would hear the kind of love that we as a church are committed to being. That's why you heard us say together, whoever has ears, let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. It wasn't just us just saying something for mantra. That's our commitment to one another. We're giving each other instruction. I'm saying to those across the aisle, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I'm sorry that if you're in this place and you've maybe been to a church where love was distorted. Maybe you're here in this place and there's some church hurt. Maybe you haven't given your heart to Christ because of this distortion of love that you experienced. I say this morning, I'm sorry for that. But I definitely want to extend an opportunity for you to receive the love of Christ. And even though, I mean, I grew up in church and there was always something, a different way that this happens. But I want to make sure going into this year, the end of every service, making this very easy for those that might be in the room and say, you know what, I don't have a relationship with Christ. Well, what do I do, Pastor? Really, it's really a heart thing. It's not special words. Even if you weren't able to talk, you can ask Christ into you. It's a heart thing and a mind thing. But just to help, if there's just simple words here that are on the screen. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I ask you for forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust you and follow you as my Lord and Savior. It doesn't have to be those exact words, but just a prayer, just asking God for forgiveness. And you become one of those that he holds in his hand. In the same way, there are people that have already prayed a similar prayer, something like you've asked Christ into your, but you know right now that there is an issue of love that God needs to come in and let his Spirit get a hold of. If that's you in this place, as I pray, whether you're praying a sinner's prayer or just praying a prayer of repentance, say, Lord, take me back to my first love. I'm going to pray for you this morning. And then as I pray, if you're in this place today, especially if you've prayed that sinner's prayer, there's a card that's in the pew in the front of you that just says, I have decided. It's a decision card that says, today I gave my life to Christ. Maybe it's today I want to be baptized. Maybe it's say, you know, I've been visiting this place. I want to be a part of if this is how this church is committed to loving, I want to love like that. I don't want to just attend now. I'm locked in. I want to become a member of the church. Whatever that decision that you're making today after hearing the word of God preached, I want to invite you to fill that out. You could turn that right into the Welcome Center right after service today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for sending your son. Jesus, we thank you for holding us in your right hand, Lord. We thank you for walking among us, for being so intimately familiar with us, our worship, our witness. And Spirit, we thank you for dwelling with us, for being with us, God. We thank you so much for that, God. Would you seal us today? Empower us to leave this place being your witnesses. For those in this place that did not know you, that did not know the love of Christ for their own lives, who made a decision today to follow Jesus, God, we thank you that you seal that, God. We thank you, Lord. Now, Father, as we leave this place today, Lord God, may we walk in here empowered by your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. Cause I want more of you, God.
More of you, God.
Come on, sing it. Sing it, Lisa.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
Yes.
I want more of you,
Church,
God.
Before you leave, can you just lift your hand and sing that
set
with Lisa?
Fire.
Come on, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain.
That I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
I want more of you, Jesus.
I want more.
One more time, sing, set a fire.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
Jesus.
I want more of you, God.
Father, it's only by your Spirit that we can walk out of this place and be faithful witnesses to your kingdom and show that love. Empower us by your Spirit to show love. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, we love you. Don't forget, 1 hour of prayer starts at 6 o'clock tonight. If you have children that you're picking up from Children's Church, they are in over in the academy wing of the church. When you go out the sanctuary, turn that way just in case you're new and you don't know the area. But right outside to the right, all up here on the first floor there. Love you, and may the Lord meet you all in your Sunday school classes today.